The Day Without Yesterday. Chapter 1. We can compare space-time to an open conic cup. The bottom of the cup is the origin of atomic disintegration. It is the first instant at the bottom of space-time. The now, which has no yesterday, because yesterday there was no space. George Lemaître, from The Primeval Atom. No one knows for certain the exact day of that week in October 1927 when Albert Einstein ran into the round-faced Catholic priest. If it was Wednesday, then it was a few days after the new moon. The weather in Brussels may have been raw, and the 48-year-old Einstein was probably in no mood to discuss his work with strangers, least of all strangers wearing Roman collars. But that is what happened. The 5th International Solvay Conference on Physics ran from Monday, October the 24th, through Saturday, October 29th. Over a week's time, Einstein would have ample opportunity to meet the many other physicists who had come to the Belgian capital. On Wednesday, October 26th, for example, Einstein could probably be found in one of the meeting rooms of the Institute of Physiology in Brussels, or perhaps not too far from there at the Hotel Metropole. It was a plush resort built by the wealthy Wielmans-Kuypens family just before the turn of the century. The spacious rooms were an admirable retreat for scientists spending most of their mornings and afternoons in drab lecture halls. In the event, Einstein was strolling in the alleys of Leopold Park one day during the conference with a former student of his, Auguste Piccard. Piccard, a tall, dark-haired man with a broad forehead, can be seen standing behind the other members in a familiar picture of Solvay taken during the 1927 conference and reproduced in many Einstein biographies. Piccard had written his PhD thesis at the University of Berlin, and Einstein had acted as principal co-examiner of the paper for him. Piccard was happy to take advantage of the conference to see his old mentor. The last Solvay conference had been held in Brussels in 1924, just 3 years earlier, but Einstein had boycotted it in solidarity with the German scientists who had not been allowed to attend, so soon after the end of hostilities, and with feelings on the Belgian and French side still being raw. Now he was here to listen to many of the most illustrious physicists of the day, discussing the new quantum theory in papers presented under the conference topic Electrons and Photons. As common as this topic might sound, electrons and photons were very new objects to scientists in the first quarter of the 20th century, and the model of the subatomic realm that they were constructing to accommodate these particles was becoming controversial. Einstein himself was not delivering a paper on that subject, or any other, in spite of being invited to do so by the conference chairman and his close friend, the Dutch physicist Hendrik Antoon Lorentz. Indeed, it seemed to everyone attending the conference that Einstein's role in the proceedings was unusually passive. Part of the problem for the physicist at Solvay, part of the reason for his preoccupation, his own grand theory of gravity was becoming, in his mind, unruly. The theory of general relativity was beginning to suggest disturbing ramifications about cosmology, the study of the universe as a whole, and these matters were begging for attention, an attention Einstein did not at that time feel motivated to give. In spite of his attempts to remain lighthearted at the conference, and several friends reported later that, outside of the presentations of papers, the great physicist was more his outgoing self, the nagging sense nevertheless lingered for him that he had made a mistake somewhere in his equations for general relativity. It was in Brussels, then, in the muddle of these preoccupations, in the alleys of the Leopold Park, that George Lemaître found him. Einstein had heard of Lemaître, of course. As he regarded the 33-year-old diocesan cleric who caught up with him, he remembered the young man's paper. Theophile de Donder, one of the chairmen of the Solvay Conference, had, in fact, showed it to Einstein earlier in the year, probably at Lemaître's request. It was a clever paper. Einstein could see that. But it reminded him too much of another he had seen some years before, a bothersome article by a Russian mathematician, containing disturbing solutions to his equations that not only argued that the universe of general relativity was dynamic, but also that it could actually expand. Einstein was not impressed. Accounts of this first meeting between the physicist and the Abbé George Lemaître vary, but, common to all of them, is the older man's supposed brusque dismissal of Lemaître's idea. "Your calculations are correct," Lemaître years later recalled him saying, "but your physics is abominable." It's unlikely Einstein actually said this to be disagreeable, and it certainly was not meant as a personal insult. More likely, Einstein applied abominable to the concept of expanding space itself, because it's essentially the reaction he had to the paper written in 1922 by that Russian mathematician when the whole idea was first brought to Einstein's attention. He simply refused to even consider the idea of an expanding universe at that time.